نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان لكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. And alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone, no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, servant, and messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah, for whom you demand to reach your rights, and don't corrupt relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baidu, searching him with truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are million better matters in this religion. For every million better matter in this religion is a bidah. Every bidah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Yesterday, we were talking about the truthful Muslim and how he does not cheat, deceive, or stab his brothers in the back. Today we're going to talk a little bit about another evil characteristic, which is envy or hasad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued a stern warning against it and advised that faith and envy do not belong together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, faith and envy do not go together in the heart of the servant. Tamura ibn Salaba radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that people will be fine as long as they do not envy one another. One of the qualities of a true Muslim is that his soul is free from deceit, envy, treachery, and malice. This purity of heart will grant him entry into paradise, even if he is one of those who perform many acts of worship, spending nights in prayer and fasting during the day. Even if he is not one of those who perform many acts of worship, spending nights in prayer and fasting during the day. Imam Ahmed reported with a Hasan Isnad, and Asai reported from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, who said, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, one of the people of paradise will come down to you. And a man from the Ansar came along, his beard dripping from his wudu and carrying his sandals in his left hand. The next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing, and the same man appeared, looking the same as he had on the previous day. On the third day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said the same thing, and the same man appeared again. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As followed the man and said, I have fallen out with my father and sworn that I will not enter his house for 3 days. And I thought that I could stay with you until this time is up. The man said, fine. And it said, Abdullah used to tell how he stayed with him for those 3 nights and never saw the man get up to pray at night. But when he awoke and turned over in his sleep, he would mention Allah and say, Allahu Akbar, until he got up for Salatu Fajr. Abdullah said that I never heard him say anything but good. When the 3 days were over and I had begun to think that his deeds were nothing remarkable, I said, O servant of Allah, there was no quarrel between me and my father, but I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say 3 times, one of the people of paradise will come to me, and you appeared each time. So I wanted to come and stay with you to see what you did, so I could follow your example. But I did not see you do anything out of the ordinary. What is it that has raised you to such a great status as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? The man said, it is only what you have seen. When I turned away, he called me back and said, it is only what you have seen, that I do not hold anything against any Muslim in my heart, and I do not envy anyone for the blessings that Allah has bestowed on them. Abdullah said, this is what has raised you to the great status, and this is what we could not achieve. This hadith indicates the effects of having a heart that is free of hatred, envy, malice, treachery, and its impact on deciding a person's fate in the hereafter, raising his status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making his deeds acceptable, even if they are few. These effects can be clearly seen in the example of this man, whose acts of worship were few, but he would enter paradise because of the purity of his heart and the fact that people were saved from harm on his part. These effects are in direct contrast with the woman about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked. Although she spent her nights in prayer and her days fasting, she used to insult her neighbors, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she will be in the hellfire. The one who weighs heavily in the balance of Islam is the sincere man whose heart is free from deceit, treachery, envy, and hatred, even if his acts of worship are few. Despite the paucity of his worship, he is like a pure solid brick in the structure of the Islamic community. The one whose heart is filled with hatred, envy, deceit, and malice towards people weighs lightly in the balance of Islam. He's a failure, even if his acts of worship are many, because he is like a weak brick in the structure of the community. This weak link and others like it may be the cause of its collapse. The ideal Muslim as Islam wants him to be combines faithful worship, purity of heart, and the treatment of others so that his inward character is in accordance with his outward appearance and his deeds confirm his words. Through this, Muslim and others like him, the structure of the Muslim community will be reinforced and strengthened until it is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, like a wall, parts of which support other parts. This is the pure, cohesive community that deserves to carry the message of Allah to mankind. The true Muslim is not only free from those negative characteristics, but he is also endowed with the constructive, positive attitude of true sincerity towards every Muslim in his community, believing that his religion is essentially sincerity, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith collected in Bukhari and Muslim, religion is sincerity. The Sahaba asked, to whom? He said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims, and to their common folk. When the Sahaba swore allegiance or bayat to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were pledged to observe salat and zakat and to be sincere towards every Muslim, as is shown in the statement of Jarir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, I swore allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the pledge that I would establish regular prayer, pay zakat, and be sincere to every Muslim. The fact that sincerity or nasiha was mentioned in conjunction with salat and zakat in the oath of allegiance given by this great sahabi to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an indication of its importance in the Islamic scheme of things and in deciding a person's fate in the hereafter. Therefore, it is a basic characteristic of the true Muslim who is concerned about his destiny on the Day of Judgment. The importance of sincerity in deciding the fate of a Muslim in the hereafter increases when he is given some responsibility over other Muslims. Then it becomes his key to the eternal paradise. If he does not attain it in this world, he will be denied access to paradise in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no servant whom Allah entrusts with the care of those under his authority and he dies having been insincere or deceitful in his duty, but Allah will deny paradise to him. And this hadith is collected in Bukhari and Muslim. According to a report given by Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ said, "There is no leader entrusted with the affairs of the Muslims, and then does not do his best for them, and is not sincere towards them, but he will not enter paradise with them." How great is the responsibility of the ruler in Islam, and of everyone who has been entrusted with some of the affairs of the Muslims. How great is the impact of sincerity in fulfilling this duty on the ultimate fate of the one who has been entrusted with it, on the day when mankind will be resurrected to face the Lord of the worlds. Our attention is drawn to the responsibility of each one of us in his own special circle, in his own social circle, by the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Each of you is a shepherd, and each of you is responsible for his flock." This clearly demonstrates the comprehensiveness of that responsibility in the Muslim society. Hardly anyone can evade it. Hence, the true Muslim community, which is based on these divine principles and values, is the most civilized, secure, and moral of all human societies. The true Muslim who is endowed with a positive Islamic attitude also keeps his promises faithfully. It is no exaggeration to say that this attitude is one of the most important factors in a person's success in his community. It is one of the clearest indicators of his high level of civility and superior standing in his community. The Muslim is one of the civil types of people who keep their promises. Indeed, he is the best of them, if he is a true Muslim. Because this attitude of faithfulness in keeping promises is at the heart of Islamic morals and manners, and is one of the most indicative signs of the soundness of a Muslim's faith and Islam. Many ayat and hadith encourage the fostering of this attitude and indicate that it is one of the signs of faith. In contrast, seeking to avoid fulfilling promises is an attitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 1, "O you who believe, fulfill all obligations." And in Surah Isra, verse 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, "And fulfill every engagement, for every engagement will be inquired into on the day of reckoning." A promise is not an empty word to be uttered casually with no intention of fulfillment, as too many Muslims do nowadays. It is a serious responsibility for which we will be called to account. A promise is a covenant with Allah which gives it a measure of dignity and sanctity. Fulfilling it is an obligation regardless of the circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Saf, verse 2 through 3, "O you who believe, why say you that which you do not do? Grievously odious is it in the sight of Allah that you say that which you do not." Breaking promises is one of the odious signs that Allah abhors in his believing servants. He does not want them to sink to such a level. There is an ambiguity in the interrogative structure at the beginning of this ayat, where the breaking of promises is so soundly condemned that the true believer will strive to avoid this sin and will tremble with fear of his Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The signs of a hypocrite are three: when he speaks, he lies; when he makes a promise, he breaks it; and when he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust." The level of a person's Islam is not only confirmed by the acts of worship he performs, like Salat, fasting, and Hajj. Rather, it is confirmed by the personality that is characterized by devotion to the teachings of Islam, so that the person is distinguished by its noble values and attitudes, and you see him adhering to the limits set by Allah, obeying his commandments, avoiding that which he has prohibited, and following his guidance in all his affairs. Thus, the attitudes of falsehood, betrayal, and breaking of promises will be eliminated from the life of the true Muslim, because they are opposed to Islamic attitudes and belong only to the hypocrites. Let this bitter reality be known to the many businessmen, craftsmen, and employees who promise to complete their work within a certain time and break their promises. To those who give their word, then dissolve their pledges. to those who are trusted with money, secrets, or inheritance, and betray that trust. Let all of these people know that they are among the hypocrites, even if they fast, pray, and claim to be Muslims, and that hypocrites will be in the lowest level of hell. The true Muslim has a good attitude in his dealings with others. He is humble and is soft and gentle in his speech, following the guidance of Islam and the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as his servant Anas reported, was the best of people in his attitude towards others. Anas was not exaggerating, nor did he let his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make him exaggerate. The attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he witnessed was something unheard of. Anas radiallahu anhu tells us one of the aspects of that noble attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years and he never said to me, "Uf," which is the mildest word of contempt in Arabic. If I did something, he never said, "Why did you do that?" And if I did not do something, he never said, "Why did you not do such and such?" And this hadith is collected in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a person who used bad language or insulted others. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly told his companions, "Among the best of you are those who have the best attitude towards others." He also said, "Bad language and vile talk have nothing whatsoever to do with Islam. The best of people in Islam are those who have the best attitude towards others." And also, "The most beloved to me and the closest to me on the day of resurrection will be those of you who have the best attitude. And the most hateful to me and the furthest from me on the day of resurrection will be the prattlers and boasters and the mutafahikun." The Sahaba said, "O Messenger of Allah, we understand who the prattlers and the boasters are, but who are the al-mutafahikun?" He said, "The proud and the arrogant." The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, used to hear the Prophet's noble moral teachings, and they would see with their own eyes the excellent way in which he used to deal with people. So they would obey his words and follow his example. Thus was established their society, which has never been equaled by any other in the history of mankind. Anas, radiallahu anhu, said, "The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful. Nobody came to him without receiving a promise of his help, which he would fulfill if he had the means to do so. On one occasion, the iqamah for prayer had been given when a Bedouin came to him, took hold of his cloak and said, 'I still have some matter outstanding, and I do not want you to forget it.' So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with him and resolved the matter. Then he came back and prayed." And this is recorded by Bukhari in Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see anything wrong with listening to the Bedouin and resolving his issue, even though the iqamah had already been given. He did not get upset with the man for pulling on his cloak or object to resolving the matter before the prayer, because he was building a just society, teaching the Muslims by his example how a Muslim should treat his brother, and showing them the moral principles that should prevail in the Muslim community. The good attitudes and manners among non-Muslims are the result of a good upbringing and solid education. Then among Muslims, such good attitudes come above all from the guidance of Islam, which makes good attitudes a basic characteristic of the Muslim, one which will raise his status in this world and will weigh heavily in his favor in the hereafter. No deed will count more on the day of judgment than a man's good attitude, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Nothing will weigh more heavily in the balance of the believing servant on the day of resurrection than a good attitude towards others. Verily, Allah hates those who utter vile words and obscene speech." Islam has made this good attitude towards others an essential part of faith, as those who have the best attitude towards others are the most complete in faith, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The most perfect in faith of the believers are those who are best in their attitude towards others." Islam also describes those who have the best attitude towards others as being the most beloved to Allah of his servants. This is seen in the hadith of Usama ibn Shuraiq, who said, "We were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if they were birds in our heads. None of us were talking. Some people came to him and asked, who is the most beloved to Allah of his servants? He said, those who are the best in attitude towards others. It comes as no surprise that the person who has the best attitude towards others should also be the one who is most beloved to Allah. So the treatment of others is an important feature of Islamic law. It is the most significant deed that can be placed on the balance of the Muslim on the Day of Judgment, as we have seen. It is equivalent to prayer and fasting, the two greatest bases of Islam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no greater deed will be placed in the balance than a good attitude towards others. A good attitude towards others will bring a person up to the level of fasting and prayer. According to another report, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by virtue of his good attitude towards others, a person may reach the level of one who habitually fasts during the day and stands in prayer at night. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeatedly emphasized the importance of a good attitude and encouraged his companions to adopt it, using various methods to instill it in their hearts by his words and deeds. He understood the great impact this attitude would have in purifying their souls and enhancing their morals and manners. For example, he told Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, shall I not tell you of two qualities which are easy to attain, but which will weigh more heavily in the balance? He said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. He said, you should have a good attitude towards others and remain silent for them to perish. By the one in whose hand is my soul, nothing that people have ever attained is better than these two. And he also said, a good attitude is a blessing and a bad attitude is a calamity. Piety lengthens life and charity will prevent a bad death. The prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking Allah to make his attitude better when Allah had described him in the Quran as being on an exalted standard of character is a clear indication of his deep concern and earnest desire that the Muslims should continue to seek to increase in good attitudes, no matter what heights they had already scaled, just as their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to seek increase in good attitudes through his dua. Good attitudes is a comprehensive term which includes all the good characteristics that human beings may acquire, such as modesty, patience, gentleness, forgiveness, tolerance, cheerfulness, truthfulness, trustworthiness, sincerity, purity of heart, and so on. The one who sets out to explore the Islamic teachings on social issues will find himself confronted with a host of teachings that encourage every single one of these noble attitudes. This is an indication of the intense concern that Islam has to form the social personality of the Muslim in the most precise fashion. So it does not stop at mentioning generalities, but it also deals with every minor moral issue that may form individual aspects of the integrated social personality. The comprehensiveness does not exist in other social systems as it does in Islam. The researcher has no alternative but to examine all these texts and to understand the guidance and legislation contained therein. Only then will he be able to fully comprehend the noble social personality that is unique to the true Muslim. The true Muslim has the characteristic of shyness, hayat, following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The great Sahabi Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, said, the Messenger of Allah was more shy than a virgin hiding away in her own room. If he saw something that he disliked, you would only know it only from his facial expression. Shyness, haya, was mentioned by the ulama, is a noble attitude which always motivates a person to avoid bad deeds and prevents him from failing in his duties towards those who have rights over him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged this attitude as seen in a number of hadith, and counted it as a pure goodness both for the one who possesses this virtue and for the society in which he lives. Imran ibn Hussein, radiyallahu anhu, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shyness brings nothing but good. According to a report given by Muslim, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shyness is all good. Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, faith has 70 odd branches. The greatest of them is saying La ilaha illallah, and the least of them is removing something harmful from the road. Shyness is one of the branches of faith. The true Muslim is shy, polite, gentle, and sensitive to the feelings of others. He never does any bad deed that may harm others, and he does not fail in his duty towards them, towards anyone who has a right over him. This attitude of shyness will protect him from all these errors, not only because he feels shy in front of people, but because he also feels shy before Allah, and is afraid to confuse his beliefs with wrong. Shyness is described as being a branch of faith, which is the most effective way of encouraging this virtue. This connection between moral motives and belief in Allah and the last day makes the Muslim stand out from others by virtue of the deep sincerity of his attitudes and the lasting quality and consistency of his morals, no matter how much times and circumstances change. That is because they stem from a sensitive, living conscience that fears committing betrayal. He feels more shy before Allah, who knows all hidden secrets, than he does before people, who see only his outward appearance. And it is this shyness that marks the parting of ways between the morals of the Muslim and the morals of the non-Muslim. The true Muslim is gentle and kind towards people when it is appropriate. Kindness and gentleness are qualities which Allah loves in his believing servants because they make a person mild and soft in a way that endears him to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the Surah of Fusilat, verse 34 and 35, which means, nor can goodness and evil be equal. Repel evil with what is better. Then will he be between whom and you our hatred become as it were your friend and intimate. And no one will be granted such goodness except those who exercise patience and self-restraint, none but persons of the greatest good fortune. Many ayat and ahadith reinforce the message that kindness is a noble attitude, one that should prevail in the Muslim community and in each member of that community who understands the guidance and teachings of Islam. It suffices the Muslim to know that kindness is one of the attributes of Allah that he loves to see in his service. Verily, Allah is kind and gives and loves kindness in all affairs. And this hadith is collected in Bukhari and Muslim. It is a tremendous virtue which Allah rewards in a way unlike any other. Another hadith collected in Muslim, Allah is kind and loves kindness, and he rewards it in a way that he does not reward harshness and in a way unlike any other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged kindness and viewed it as something beautiful and endearing, the absence of which is repulsive. He said in a hadith collected in Muslim, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no kindness in a thing, but it makes it beautiful. And there is no absence of kindness in a thing, but it makes it repugnant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the Muslims to be kind in their dealings with people and to behave in a good manner as befits the Muslim who is calling people to the religion of Allah, the kind and merciful, no matter how provocative the situation. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, a Bedouin urinated in Damascus, and the people got up to stop him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him alone and throw a bucket of water over his urine, for you have been raised to be easy on the people, not hard on them. And this hadith is collected in Bukhari. Kindness, gentleness, and tolerance, not harshness, aggression, and rebukes, are what open people's hearts to the message of truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to advise the Muslims, make things easy, not difficult, and be cheerful, not threatening. People are naturally put off by rudeness and harshness, but they are attracted to kindness and gentleness. Hence, Allah said to his Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Surah Imran, verse 159, which means, were you severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. This is an internal declaration that applies to every da'i who seeks to call people to Islam, so that he may find a way to their hearts and follow a path of kindness and gentleness, even if the person being called is an oppressor or a wrongdoer. This is what Allah told his Prophet Musa, alayhi salatu salam, and his brother Harun, when he sent them to Pharaoh. In Surah Taha, verse 43-44, go both of you to Pharaoh, for he has indeed transgressed all bounds, but speak to him mildly, perchance he may take warning or fear Allah. Not surprisingly, kindness according to Islam is all goodness. Whoever attains it has been given all goodness, and whoever does not attain it is truly a loser. And it is reflected in the hadith narrated by Jarir ibn Abdullah, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever has been denied kindness has been denied all goodness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that this goodness will be bestowed upon individuals, households, and peoples when kindness prevails in their lives and is one of their foremost characteristics. We find this in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, O Aisha, be kind, for if Allah wills some good to a household, He guides them to kindness. And according to another report, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah wills some good to a household, He instills kindness in them. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah wills some good to a people, He instills kindness in them. What greater goodness can there be than a characteristic that will protect a man from hell? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, shall I not tell you who will be forbidden from the fire, or from whom the fire will be forbidden? It will be forbidden for every gentle, soft-hearted, and kind person. The teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take a man a step further by instilling in him the attitude of kindness and requiring him to be kind even to the animals he slaughters. This is counted as one of the highest levels that the pious and righteous may reach. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has prescribed proficiency in all things. Thus, if you kill, kill well. And if you slaughter, slaughter well. Let each one of you sharpen his blade and let him spare suffering to the animal he slaughters. And this hadith is collected in Muslim. Kindness to dumb animals that are slaughtered is indicative of the kindness of a man who slaughters them and of his mercy towards all living creatures. The more a person understands this and treats all living creatures well, the more kind and gentle a person he is. This is the ultimate goal towards which Islam is guiding the Muslim so that he is even kind to animals. We're going to stop here, inshallah. And next Monday, we'll continue on with the Muslim being compassionate and merciful. If there are any questions, we can take them now, inshallah. Anything that I said that is correct, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything that I said that is incorrect, it is from Shaitan and or myself. Subhanallah wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.